Good morning, everyone. Welcome to Western Hills. Let's stand and let's worship together. Here we go.
We have a So as you can see, a lot of our kiddos got to have a lot of fun last week. But something that isn't easily captured in a video like that is the way that God moved amongst those same students. In our group alone, we had a handful of students make decisions to recommit their lives to digging deeper in their walk with Jesus, and even had a student who inquired about baptism. And so we got to see God do some cool things and have some cool conversations that we can't really capture in a video. But that nonetheless made our time at camp all that more rich and all deep. So I first wanted to just say thank you for being a church that helps us send students to camp each year. And we're looking forward to seeing how those decisions that were made and the conversations that were started continue as we now are arriving back home from camp, hopefully starting to catch up on some sleep. But Jen, how are you feeling after that blob incident? Good? Okay, cool. That was indeed our very own Jen Mercer who went feet overhead, so... But yeah, so a really good time at camp. So continue to pray for those students who are now back home and continuing to figure out, okay, what does it look like for me to carry that on into my life at home, at school, at my work, whatever it may be. So thank you again for being a church that helps us go each year. Before we invite Suzanne up on stage to unpack our next, our final section of Psalm 23, which is a little hard to believe, we wanted to give you guys a couple updates. So first, if you are a guest with us, we want to know that you're with us this morning and that you've been joining us for worship, and we're glad you're joining us for worship. But in your seats, there are these little blue cards. We call them our connection cards. If you could just jot down your name and a point of contact for us, email, phone, whatever it may be, and then drop it in a connection kiosk on your way out, or even better yet, you can take it down to the south lobby, hand it to one of our volunteers, and get a nice little goodie bag complete with a little treat in there. And so it's just our gift to you to say thank you for joining us, but we do want to help you get connected. And if you're a regular with us, this is also how you can connect with connect groups. Reach out to request prayer to get connected with the pastor or to find serving opportunities. These cards are helpful in that regard. And so same thing, just jot down your name, mark what you're interested in. If it's not one of the check mark boxes, you can just put in the other box what you're interested in, and then we can reach out to you and help you plug in whatever way you need to. This is also available online. If you're joining us, there'll be a link dropping in the comments here before too long that you can click and fill out the same information. So regardless of how it happens, we want to connect with you and help you take those steps, because we know over this next hour together, God may be nudging you to respond in certain ways. So we want to help you figure out what those ways are. So with that, let me pray for us, and then Suzanne will be up here to help us unpack Psalm 23. Father, thank you for a good week at camp. Yes, thank you for the fun and all the excitement that we got to have. But I also just thank you for the worship that happened, the praise that happened, and the connections with you that were made. Thank you for each of those students who had the courage to dedicate their lives to you, or rededicate many of them, and just that courage to make that known and to figure out what that next step is. And so I pray for the adults that are in their lives, whether they be parents or mentors, teachers, that you would guide us and give us wisdom in helping them in that walk. Help us as a church be those adults for them. And so we're just thankful for everything that you did. And then lastly, we just ask a blessing over our rest of our time this morning together as we worship you and hear from your word. I pray that you would move in us and transform us as well. And we pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thanks, Colin. Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
Now, I noticed we didn't see any of Colin's dance moves on that video, so next year, I'm going to be there and make sure we get some. Well, as he said, we are going to finish up our series of Psalm 23 today, and together over this last six weeks, we've taken, this last 6 weeks, we've taken this journey with David the man after God's own heart, the king, who was not afraid to look back at his time, a less glamorous time in his life, to a time where he intimately felt and saw and experienced the presence of God in a time as a shepherd that most represented his walk with God. And so this is a familiar passage, as we know, hopefully over the course of these weeks, it's brought comfort to you and peace and encouragement. And we know that it does that in death, but also in life. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. And that's how we began this series. And you'll remember Pastor TD, he introduced us to this Lord as our good shepherd, who we need to surrender our will and our way to him in everything we do. And then we saw these images that showed that we can still find green pastures and still waters, even in the midst of our circumstances that may be more dry and desolate. From Dale Vorster, we learned that even though we aren't capable of staying on the paths of righteousness on our own, the Lord, our good shepherd, is always right there with us and leads us in ways that are good. And then a couple of weeks ago with Danny Payne, we talked about when we walk through these valleys, through these really, really tough places in life, we have assurance that God's right there walking with us and providing our constant care. And then last week, David Manor taught us of God's intention to prepare a table for us as both a protector, remember that mixed metaphor of the table where the sheep are protected, a mixed metaphor of both the protector but also the host, of inviting us to sit with him, to commune along beside him as he anoints us with his provision. These are all the places that we've been, and I wanted to give a big thank you to all the wonderful speakers that we've had throughout this series. Can we just give, they're not all here, but can we just give them a round of applause? Really thankful that they've been with us and all of the things that we've heard from them over the course of these weeks. And we have a couple more weeks before Grant's back from sabbatical, but they're doing great and he's getting some much needed rest. So continue our prayers for him. So today we come to the finish line and we land the plane here. Surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And in this last verse of this psalm, we start to see this shift, a little bit of a transition. You know, all through this psalm, we've been talking about the good shepherd and following him and who we follow. And in this last verse, we start to flip it on its head a little bit. And we start to see what's actually, or who's actually, following us. Back when my boys were little, I think Evan was about 3 years old and Sean was not quite one. That's a hectic time of life. I know a lot of you guys can relate to that. And there were weeks where I was just like, oh man, I need a moment alone. And so I remember one of those days I was like, I'm gonna go take a bubble bath. Like, so I went, took a bubble bath, got everything, you know, my candles all around. It was nice and relaxing, all the bubbles around. I kind of sink down into the tub. And all of a sudden, I hear this pitter-patter of little three-year-old feet coming in. And Evan thought, this looks really fun. We got bubbles, and we got all this stuff. And so he runs and gets this toy that he had just gotten in his Easter basket. And it was an underwater toy with it was a penguin, and it had a propeller on the front. And so he puts that in the water, and, you know, he's playing with it, and then he's leaving to go get other stuff. And somehow that darn penguin, I had long hair at the time, it made its way up to my hair and got tangled in my hair, wrapped around, and I tried to untangle it. I can't get it out. So now I've got to call for Danny, my husband, to come get this out. So he comes in. He's carrying Sean, who's just under one. And, you know, Sean sees me, and he starts crying because he wants to be with me. And so, like I said, I was relaxing in the tub. Back then, these types of scenarios, they were super common. And I know, again, a lot of you in this room can relate to that. And I know that season, it's like I was always being pursued by these very cute and wonderful creatures, these miniature humans. And they followed me because they loved me and they wanted to be with me. And I knew that was their purpose, But it was also a little bit exhausting. And one of those days, and this was a little bit later after Aaron was born too, I remember standing at the top of the stairs, and I've got these three little creatures coming up the stairs after me, "Mommy, Mama, Mom, Mom," like calling my name over and over. And I stood there and said to God or to no one in particular, "That's it, I'm changing my name." I remember that, and it was this persistent pursuing and this constant following, a relentless pursuit that I couldn't quite shake away. And this kind of relentless pursuit is what David is describing as this last verse of Psalm 23 begins. "Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life." Now, when I think about a pursuit, I don't know about you, but a lot of times I think about I'm an enemy in pursuit. And so maybe it seems a little bit odd, because especially because we've just talked about coming out of the valley of the shadow of death, where there's danger and enemies following us. You'll remember Danny shared about the spillway and the water coming down after him as he and Natalia were trying to get out of that spillway. And then last week, the picture David showed us of the lion prowling around right around the corner on his safari, just around the corner that the guide knew was there. These pictures of our enemies pursuing us, they make sense, and we can understand that. But for something that is goodness and mercy, something that isn't our enemy to be the pursuer, that may be a little bit more difficult concept to grasp. So this morning, we're going to spend some time unpacking this last verse a little bit more and about what that means. Surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life. We start out with this word, surely. Surely. There's a lot of confidence in that. This isn't a request or like a fingers crossed, "Ooh, I hope this goes okay" type of situation. And don't call me Shirley. It's not one of those situations. No, this is language that carries with it assurance, confidence. Because David, as we've talked about before, he had seen firsthand the evidence of God's goodness and mercy in his own life. His confidence comes from his faith, but also from his experience. So surely, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And here's that shift I talked about a little bit earlier. I mentioned that was coming. This shift from what we are following to what follows us because of the relationship that we have with God. So this goodness and mercy following us is an outcome of the leading of the good shepherd. And I want to look at these words, goodness and mercy. David here is referring, when he says mercy, to the chesed love of God. Chesed love of God is the word in the Hebrew. And it means goodness, kindness, and faithfulness. Other translations, again, here we're seeing mercy, but other translations refer to this as loving kindness. So both a general goodness, but also a targeted goodness towards us. And there's this strong reversion back here to the first verse that the Lord, our shepherd, will never leave us in want because he is faithful, he is good, he is kind. He has the chesed love of God. And the second word I want to look at here is radaf, radaf. And this means to chase, pursue, to follow, or run after. Sometimes it means to persecute. So in this context, we're saying, surely goodness and mercy will radaf me, chase me, pursue me all the days of my life. There's a stronger connotation there, isn't, than just like a Pied Piper following. This is a chasing after, that's the connotation here, and it's for an intentional pursuit for a purpose. This word that's translated to follow in this passage is the same word that's used to describe Pharaoh when he is pursuing the Israelites as they're headed toward the Red Sea. He doesn't want them to leave. He's going after them to bring them back. It's also the same word that King Saul is used to describe King Saul when he's in pursuit of David, when he's become jealous and he wants to track David down to kill him. So you see that intensity there of a pursuit with an intentional purpose. And in fact, most often in its connotation, it's about pursuing the enemy for punishment or for persecution. But what David describes in pursuit of us, it's not an enemy. It's not an enemy. It's goodness and it's mercy. In my study, I found some people describe this goodness and mercy in our context of the shepherd and the sheep, of being sort of like that sheepdog, that loyal, faithful sheepdog that, you know, the shepherd's in the lead, the sheep are hopefully following, but as they start to wander, to lead, the sheepdog is there around them, encircling them, following up from behind and making sure that the sheep are there and that they're safe and taken care for. Others I heard goodness and mercy in their personification described as guardian angels that are always close at hand, again, taking up the rear, standing there in guard over the sheep as they progress. One of my favorite of our worship songs that we always sing here called The Goodness of God, we sing about this. Your goodness is running after, it's running after me. And we also see this idea elsewhere in Scripture in Lamentations. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. Or maybe we can think of it like the sweet faces of my very persistent toddlers who I'm their world. And so they're chasing after me in love, calling mommy, mommy, mommy. No matter what imagery you prefer, this is our takeaway here. And that is that God's goodness and mercy, his loving kindness, the chesed love of God, it is not fleeting. It's not fleeting. It's always there. And it surrounds us. It's in front of us. It's behind us. It's on both sides and around us. It encircles us with the Lord's presence and his loving kindness all around. It's there, it surrounds us, it encircles us, and it's also not passive. It chases us. In relentless pursuit, his goodness and mercy chases us. Whether we're walking through green pastures or the valley of the shadow of death, whether we're on the paths of righteousness or we've stepped off that path in the presence of our enemies, God's goodness is running after you. It follows you purposefully and intently, not to persecute you as the enemy would, not to persecute you, but to bestow his loving kindness and to bring you to himself. And that brings us to the end of our passage. Surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Now, this idea of God's dwelling place, this would have been another thing that was pretty near and dear to King David's heart. You may remember that he had the idea for and wanted to build this house of the Lord, the temple. He wanted to build that as a place where God could be encountered and present. And this was his dream. And that dream would come to pass, but he would not be the one to build it. His son would actually be the one to build it, Solomon. But it was David's idea. It was his passion, and it was his prayer. And this is kind of a picture of what it would look like. Again, you can see that wall encircling there. Like, this is a confined area, and you can picture in David's mind his vision of abiding with God in this small place, close together, in this physical dwelling side by side with him. It's intimate, it's enclosed. And it would have been the ultimate picture of a close connection and peace with God, abiding with him. And so this is likely what he was referring to or what he may have had in his mind when he wrote the psalm. But what about for us? A temple for most of us probably isn't something that resonates with us that much. So where do we dwell with the Lord? 1 John chapter 4 says this: by this we know that we abide. That word abide is the parallel word to dwell. We abide in him and he in us because he has given us of his spirit. And we have seen and testified that the Father has sent his son to be the savior of the world. Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides or dwells in him and he in God. See, our dwelling place with the Lord, our abiding together, is not in a physical place, but in a relationship with Him. That's how we dwell. For us, He is our home, and we are His home through the presence of the Holy Spirit and because it's made possible by Jesus. So His leading as a shepherd through all of these places we've been in this psalm, it culminates in us coming home to Him to abide with Him in relationship. I will dwell in the house of the Lord in intimate relationship with Him forever, forever. As we reach the end of this passage, I want to ask you a question, and I want you to think about a time where you've been on vacation, and I'm talking about maybe where you're away for more than just a day or two, but you're going for somewhat of an extended time, and think about what it's like when you arrive at either your family's house where you're going to visit or the hotel, wherever you're going to be, and you're getting settled in for your time there. And I want to think about what you do. I think there might be two kinds of people here. Where are my people who like to unpack all of their bags, put them in the closets and put it in the drawers and make sure it's all organized and like sort of hide your suitcase away? Who are those people? Okay, there's a few of us. Now, who are the people who really don't want to waste time on stuff like that on vacation, and so you just open your suitcase and live out of it? Okay, raise your hand. Where are those? Okay, probably more of those. How do you do that? How do you do that? For me, there's something about being in a place, especially when I'm trying to relax, even if it's just a vacation, that I want to feel like I belong there. I don't want to feel like I'm visiting. And so for me, that process of unpacking a bag when I get to that destination, it gives me a sense of dwelling instead of waiting to leave. It helps me relax a little bit more quickly and settle into where I belong in that place and time. Guys, guests in God's house, we never have to leave. We never have to leave. We can unpack completely our suitcases and we can throw them out. We don't even have to hide them under the bed. They can be gone. We dwell in Him and He dwells in us. It's forever. It's described for the length of days, meaning for all the days of my life. So all of the time that we're here, that we're walking with Him, that we're following Him as our good shepherd. And some theologians also say that this is referring to now and eternity. Eternity being our home with Jesus Christ. So in all of these cases, that's our final dwelling place, our final resting place. And in both of these cases, as we're walking with Him here on earth, and as we're living with Him now and for all eternity, we are home with Jesus Christ. Not because we can pinpoint an exact GPS location or a place on the map, but because we are in the immediate presence of God in relationship with Him. We see in Psalm 23 over the course of our journey, and you might remember that very first week where we unpacked the structure of some psalms where they have this mirroring effect, right? Like where it starts and it ends in the same place and kind of goes down to this axis point. And we see that here in Psalm 23. Our journey that begins with the Lord our shepherd, it also ends with the Lord our dwelling place. Isn't that cool? Like even in the way the words of the psalm, the phrases of the psalm, even in the way that they're written out, it's a surrounding and an encircling by the Lord, behind, in front, and all around. His love surrounds us, pursues us, and brings us home now and forever. Can you hear the joy and the gratitude in this last line of the psalm and David's voice when he gets to the ending? Surely goodness and mercy, confidence, surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Exclamation point, exclamation point, exclamation point. So what does this mean for you and I? Last Sunday after church, Danny and I went to lunch with Holton and Abby Whitman. Some of you may know them. We went to an Asian restaurant. And so obligatory afterwards. We get our fortune cookies, right? And so we're like, oh, this will be funny. Let's see what it has to say. Now, I want to have this disclaimer. I really don't believe what these fortune cookies have to say, but no matter how creepily close it gets to reality, but this is what happened at our lunch. So my husband, Danny, he is fresh back from wildlife camp, like literally had gotten in at 3 a.m. that morning. So he'd been spending this week with these ninth grade boys, and his said something about passing on his wisdom and experience to others and how he can share that. And so it's like, oh yeah, cool, I just got to experience that. Now Abby said she would achieve success in the coming year. And Holton's had something to do with using his creative energy to reshape a business environment. So both of these two had just started brand new jobs, and like these things are being lived out in their life. It was like funny, haha, but also like, whoa, that's kind of creepy. So then here's mine. Be calm when confronting an emergency crisis. Okay, well, great. Now I'm waiting for that to happen. fantastic. And I'm looking around every corner. No, I know it's not really about telling the future, but if I'm honest, I do sometimes live this way, in a place of kind of like all the things in my life that are swirling around there, like wondering which one's going to be the one for the shoe to drop. When is something going to come and take me by surprise just around the corner? You and I, we know what it feels like to be pursued by the enemy, don't we? I imagine if we were to go down these rows here, we would have a unique set of problems for each of us that seem to be following us. Health problems, marriage issues, financial strain, pressure from work, relational tension, aging parents, rebellious children, maybe things like busyness, fatigue, anxiety, loneliness, worry, or stress. Maybe there's a recurring pattern of sin in our life that we can't quite get away from. These kinds of enemies, don't they always seem to be hot on our trail? Can I tell you today that God is not one of those enemies? God is not one of those enemies. And I hope that you've seen this on our journey through Psalm 23, but here's what I mean. You may have been brought up in a legalistic environment, maybe a world of hellfire and brimstone or religious elitism or Christian nationalism, something like that. Maybe you've observed believers behaving in a way that seems anything but good and loving in the name of Jesus. Maybe you've only heard about an angry God who's waiting with a sniper rifle for the first minute that you mess up. Or maybe you believe that the only way to goodness is to earn it by what you do. These are things that, if we're not careful, will come into our mind to represent God, but they are not the real Jesus. They are the enemy. And so I want you to hear today, whether it's for the first time or for the millionth time, you are pursued by the very heart of God, the chesed love of the Lord. Even when you step off of the path of righteousness into that valley of the shadow of death, you can be surely confident in the relentless pursuit of his goodness and his mercy behind you. Guys, his love surrounds you, pursues you, and brings you home to him now and forever. This is the life that we can step into when we choose to follow Christ, our good shepherd. And it is what he and he alone provides. And so while our enemies are present, they're out there prowling around, they're part of our life because of our own doing and because we live in a fallen world, they don't push aside this relentless pursuit of goodness and mercy that follows us all the days of our lives. Nothing can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus. So on your worst days and on your best days, that will always be true. His love surrounds us, pursues us, and brings us home. Now and forever, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and we dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Back in those toddler days when I was exhausted and I had those moments of wanting to change my name, they were real. My kids' relentless pursuit didn't always feel like goodness and mercy. It didn't. But those kids, guys, they were and they are my love, my heart, and my purpose. And the truth is, in those times where they weren't pursuing me, where I could escape for a date night or a solo trip to the grocery store, woo, I missed them almost immediately. I missed that pursuit. I couldn't wait to get back home. And now that they're teens and tweens, I find that I'm the one mostly pursuing them to get something more than it was fine. I look back at that time when they were pursuing me and I long for it. My heart skips a beat when every once in a while they still call me mama. I wouldn't trade those days of relentless pursuit for anything. So for us this morning, I hope that God's goodness and his mercy never stops pursuing you. And you know that he promises that it won't. So I hope that for each and every one of us, that we keep a smile on our face, trusting that we just can't seem to shake the goodness and mercy of God in everything we do. And I hope that we respond by living in such close relationship with the Lord, dwelling with him, that he always feels like home. Father God, kind of got some goosebumps there at the end because I know what this relationship with you has been like for me in my life. And I pray that, Lord, for all the people in the room here. In those times, in those moments where we feel like we can only see the enemies pursuing us, Lord, that you would get through to us somehow. That you would let us know, not only are you leading us on the paths of righteousness, but you've got your sheepdogs, your guardian angels, goodness and mercy, following behind you, working things together for our good, like you tell us in Romans. Even when we can't see that good, even when it doesn't feel like good or like our plan, that goodness and mercy pursuing us, and that we dwell with you all the days of our life. We love you so much. In your son's name, amen.
Let's stand and sing together. Too long on my Father God, we run after you this morning. That's only because you first ran after us and pursued us. So this morning we want to lift your name high. This new song we learned last week, it's called Christ Be Magnified. Let's sing together.
When creation suddenly articulate with a thousand tongues and lifts one cry, then from showing.
off our Galatians series. Our very own Sam Norris is going to share the word with us. I'm super excited about what he's going to bring, so we hope you join us there. But before we quite leave this series, we should remember that this familiar psalm, this one that we know so well, that gives us restoration and hope, it is written for us. It is written for those who belong to him. Henry Ward Beecher claims this of Psalm 23. It has charmed more griefs than the rest of all the philosophy in the world. It has remanded to their dungeon more felon thoughts, more black doubts, more thieving sorrows than there are sands on the seashore. It has comforted the noble hosts of the poor. It has sung courage to the army of the disappointed. It has poured balm and consolation into the heart of the sick, of captives in dungeons. Dying soldiers have died easier as it was read to them. Ghastly hospitals have been illuminated. It has visited the prisoner and broken his chains, like we just sang. It has made the dying Christian slave freer than his master. And it will go on singing to your children and to my children and to their children through all the generations of time. Can I say, if this is you this morning, if you need the Lord, my shepherd, I shall not want, he is ready to come alongside with you, to be your guide and your host. He wants to receive you, to provide for you, to lead you, to walk you on paths of righteousness and through the valley of the shadow of death, to anoint your head with healing and to prepare a table for you, and to relentlessly pursue with grace and mercy. If you would like to begin that journey, if you're ready to take that step today, you don't have to have any special words or any special prayer. You just have to talk to God. And while talking to Jesus is the most important thing, we invite you to talk to someone else too. If you're making a decision today, come let one of us know. Colin's available, Rick, myself, any of our Connect Group leaders or our council. We would love to share this journey with you. This is why God gave us one another. So you can leave a note on your connection card that Colin mentioned earlier, and you can communicate us as we follow up during the week. And for those of us who already know Jesus, we have a responsibility to live out the reality of him and to live out the reality of Psalm 23. Remember, guys, this psalm is not just known to us. Outside of John 3:16, this psalm is probably the most recognized piece of scripture that people would know, including people who don't know Jesus. It's read at funerals. We hear it on television and in movies. What if we as believers... what if we lived our life such that Psalm 23 was not just a funeral psalm? What if we lived and walked in the way that he promises, the very demonstration of David's song? What would happen, and who would they see? That purpose is what we share each week as we walk out and we leave this building. And so we read our blessing over one another. Would you guys stand with me this morning? We're going to do it again, keeping in mind this special purpose in Psalm 23 and the gift that it is to us, the gift that we're given. Read this with me. In Christ, you go nowhere alone. Wherever you go, God is there. Wherever you are, God can work through you. He gives purpose to your being there. Christ, who dwells in you, has something to do through you where you are. Believe this and go in his grace, love, and power. Go be the church.